Hour number two on the Thursday edition of Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, as we come to you live from the Ok Chin Community Studios. It's always a pleasure to welcome our next guest, one of our old friends, the legend himself, Mike Golic, joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Golic, how are you, man?
Is there a different word we can go with than old? Just wondering.
Long time?
Do that.
Long time friend? Is that better?
Okay. That's better than old. I thought you were going to say old and decrepit.
No, I would never say that about you.
At least not while you're on the show.
Right.
Jarrett,
it's not in your vicinity.
Hit the music again. Let's do take two. No, I'm just joking. The first thing I got to know, Golic, is have you adjusted the sleep schedule? Are you still getting up at an ungodly hour, or have you adjusted that part of your life?
You know, it took about 3 weeks where I wasn't kind of rolling over at 4:15, getting ready to go to work. So now I'm a good 7:30, 7:45 guy. It's unbelievable. Man, if I end up going back to radio for a morning show, that's going to be tough. I don't know if that's going to happen, man. I'm kind of enjoying this life. I may look to see other parts of media, the podcast thing and calling games, and I might leave that, early morning stuff to others.
Right. Yeah, that's a great thing about those live football games. They don't start at 6 a.m.
Yeah, that's right. Time to look for that soft landing, Golic.
All right. I think I'm leaning that way, Dan.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. All right, let's talk some NFL draft, if you don't mind. What do you make of the draft beginning at number 3 with the San Francisco 49ers? Because we all know it's Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. At least we think we know. And the draft begins at number 3. What do you think the 49ers are going to do? What do you think they should do?
You know, it's interesting that when they traded for that number 3 pick, Trey Lance had already had his. This is what we all do because there's so much time between the end of the season and the draft. You start looking at, okay, well, they traded for this pick after Trey Lance's first pro day, but before Justin Fields or Mac Jones' pro day. Maybe they saw enough in Trey Lance in the pro day that says we're going to trade up to number 3 and get him, which is all laughable to me because pro days to me, especially for quarterbacks, are a joke. Anybody that uses them to say, oh, my God, he just helped himself in the draft, it blows my mind. When I started seeing the Zach Wilson rolled left and threw a ball, or maybe it was Justin Fields. I don't even know.
It was Zach Wilson. T-shirt. You're right. Yeah. Somebody shorts and a T-shirt.
Oh, my God. Did you see that throw?
Yeah.
Did I see that throw? Yeah, I saw the throw in shorts and a T-shirt with nobody rushing him and nobody covering his receiver. I tweeted that out, and some guy's like, oh, half the guys in the league couldn't make that throw. I said, start listening for me and show me the film where they couldn't make that throw. In shorts and a T-shirt. I mean, what are we doing here?
It's
a joke. So,
and you know what?
This is what we start doing.
And on top of that, you don't even want your quarterback making that throw.
No, you don't. I mean, it's nice if they can make the off platform throws, but you'd rather be able to make the on time throws. That's what's going to win for you. So there's all that talk was a Trey Lance and then blah blah blah. Listen. Kyle Shanahan, the perfect fit for him in my estimation with the way the guy can move is Justin Fields. Justin Fields can do the rollout, can do the rolls, he can do the options, he can do the quarterback running, he throws well in the pocket, he throws well in the run. Mac Jones probably has a higher floor but a lower ceiling. He's going to be more, he can move some, but he's the more, I'm going to get the ball out. You know, I've heard people say this type of quarterback is dead in the NFL. It never is. If you can get the ball out on time and a catchable ball, you'll always have a place in the NFL. You don't always – we have seen the shift to now mobile quarterbacks, and I'm glad because they're really good quarterbacks who can add so much to a team. But that doesn't mean there always can't be a place for a guy who's a little more stable in the pocket, and that's Mac Jones. Trey Lance could have the highest ceiling, but you've never had an FCS quarterback leave early. He's had 13 games and then won this year, and he's leaving early. You know, is the taste of Carson Wentz in your mouth? You know, I mean, but this guy, so if you draft him and you keep Garoppolo for a year and give him a year to kind of get under a pro program, see what he does, I would say Kyle Shanahan, listen, they want to win now. They're getting Bosa back. They got a good running game. You know, they want to win right now, whether Garoppolo's the guy or if they have to put a young one in. To me, it would be Justin Fields.
Talking to Mike Golic here on Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You kind of read my mind where I was going to go with the Trey Lance question. We see, especially in recent years, a lot of one-year starting quarterbacks in college make the elevation of the pros. Heck, we got one here in Arizona in Kyler Murray, and it's worked out pretty well so far. But like you said, We've never seen somebody from that level of competition do it. Trey Lance has had more pro days than games played in the last year plus. Do you think, you know, if you were a GM, would that particular fact scare you off from drafting Trey Lance if you needed a quarterback?
It would. There has to be some trouble. Listen, there's no quarterback maybe besides Trevor that comes in where you say he's got it all. Everybody has their quirk about him, you know, no matter what. With Trey, you are going to hold your breath because you look at him and you look when he played. He's big, he's strong, he can run. It reminds me of a Josh Allen, a guy who did almost the unthinkable, had a bad completion percentage in college and actually improved upon it in the NFL and shows what a runner he can be as well. You know, this is a version of Josh Allen. If you get that, hell, you struck gold. But Vince, there has to be some trepidation that says, are we going to get that? We saw Carson Wentz having an MVP year before he got hurt and then nothing since. So, you know, you take him and you got to hold your breath. Coaches will always have the confidence in themselves. I can make this guy a great player, whether it's quarterback or whatever position. So that's not going to be a worry for a coach. But it's going to be the ownership and the GM of pick that high in the draft that says, yeah, we have now basically, especially for a GM, I'm putting kind of my job on the line with this quarterback.
All right, I'm curious what you think. What does your NFL savvy and your experience tell you when you get highly ranked prospects coming from the same program, and how do you delineate how good they really are when they're surrounded by great talent? Of course, I'm talking about Alabama, that is Mac Jones, Najee Harris, and the couple of great wide receivers. You look at those great USC teams with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and Lendell White. How many of those guys, to a man, never reach their ceiling or their potential in the NFL? How do you deal with all these guys coming from one program and figure out how good they really are?
I'll lean, Dan, more, because it's a great question, but I lean more toward a quarterback. Name me the last great quarterback that came out of Ohio State. Name me the last great pro quarterback that came out of Alabama. Unless I'm missing something, you know, and you guys think of it right off the top of your head, who are they? Now, you want to go to running back. Listen, Derrick Henry's been doing a pretty damn nice job in Tennessee, right? He's been doing well. So you look at Alabama guys, you go all the way back to Julio Jones. But they have, you know, Waddle coming out and Smith. I like those guys. And I think it might be a little easier. There's way more on a quarterback, especially when these guys get taken higher. You guys know the expectation for a quarterback is you're now carrying that team. The expectation for a running back or receiver is you're going to be a major piece of that team. So while maybe in the pros from college, some of the running backs or wide receivers haven't lived up completely to that, I look more at the quarterback. Can you guys name it? Can you guys name me that Ohio State or Alabama quarterback?
Joe Namath?
Listen, I'm stunned that you missed the
great... Kenny Stabler? I mean...
Mike, I'm stunned you missed the greatness of Craig Krenzel.
Yeah, I mean, but see, now, I had always said that about the Big 12. You know, name me the last great quarterback out of the Big 12. But very recently, we got a few, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got Patrick Mahomes. We got Kyler Murray, what he's doing. And then you look at Baker Mayfield, good rookie year, bad second year, really good third year. So we'll see where he goes, but trending well. So you actually are starting to see some Big 12 quarterbacks where we hadn't seen that in the past start to blossom. And maybe that's because of the change a little bit of the NFL. They're now gearing toward college a little more. But of those schools, again, unless your listeners can think of more, you know, I get what you're saying. I mean, Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, these are the schools that put the most players into the pros. Now, you got Joe Burrow, who started out really well, you know, and then got hurt. We'll see. But those schools, man, you can't really look at quarterbacks and go, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's quarterback you going to the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
Mike Golic, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. In terms of name recognition and star power, at least at some point of their careers, the Arizona Cardinals made big splashes this offseason. They get J.J. Watt, A.J. Green. There seems to be two schools of thought. A lot of people like what they did. A lot of people think they're reaching for, you know, stars past their prime to try to win now. What did you make of Steve Keim and what he did in free agency this offseason, Mike?
You know, as long as you have a good mix of young and old, I'm okay with it. What we're going to see, it was a decent amount of money, but they had some money to spend, you know, and all is health. A.J. Green, we have health. These are guys that you know can produce when healthy. And I mean, listen, we know the Cardinals have to improve. They had a good running game last year. Now Drake's gone, though. He leaves and you get Connor. I don't know what that's going to really do to the running game, but you have one of the better running games because you have a quarterback that can run, but you lose your top running back from last year who had almost 1,000 yards. But now, I mean, you have DeAndre Hopkins, you know, you have A.J. Green, you have Fitzgerald, you have Kirk. I mean, you got some weapons. So the passing game, without question, should take a step up, and I don't blame them. You know, that's what fans will sit there and think, man, we can have a chance to win now. You know, what was this? I'm off the top of my head. Was it a 6-3 team and then lost 5 of the last 7?
That is right.
Like
exactly.
That,
you got it.
Right?
Yeah. You got
so,
it.
I mean, you had a team going in the right direction, so you can build on that. You know, I know Hudson's up there in age a little bit, but I love him at center. So you help yourself on the O-line. I know you get a winners as well, I believe, from Buffalo. So you help yourself on the O-line. The running game worries me a little bit on where they're going to go. The passing game should definitely take a step up. And let's see where they go in the draft. You get Watt, you lose your top sacker last year, but that was kind of expected, you know, because Chandler Jones is out. Now you're getting Jones back. So it's not surprising that Reddick left and went to his college coach in Carolina. So who do you go? You guys go Carolina? You know, is it a J.C. Horn? I mean, you go South Carolina. Is it a J.C. Horn?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a Caleb Farley? The kid, though, just had back surgery, so maybe it would be Horn to pick up for Peterson, who left. So that's probably an area to go. I think you gave up 26 touchdown passes last year, so you got to, you know, that has to go into the equation. I don't mind bringing in the old as long as you have a decent young mixture as well. And this is a team, I think, you know, what direction has Seattle gone? We don't know. Maybe L.A. got better, you know, because of bringing in Stafford. You know, we'll see. So, you know, and San Francisco, Bosa is coming back. They may be going to a young quarterback over Garoppolo, so we'll see. So, you know, it can be a chance to make a move.
All right, perceptually, Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl and his first crack at it outside of New England, how much pressure does that now put on Bill Belichick to do something really good in the next couple of years?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be there because that's always been the age-old question. And my answer to that question has always been Bill Belichick's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches of all time, and Tom's going to go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time. I've always said this between coaches and player when this age-old question gets asked. I always say the players are the ones on the field executing the play, so I always give them a little bit more of the oomph. There can be a really great game plan, but if you don't have good players to execute, it doesn't mean anything. You can have a really crappy game plan, but if you have great players, they can overcome that and play well. So I always lean toward a little more of a percentage to the players on the field because they're the ones that having to execute out there. Bill, I think, you know, Bill's legacy is set. I know a lot of it is tied to Tom, and if he never gets back to a Super Bowl, people are going to say, ooh, that blemishes a little bit. But let's be honest, his legacy is set of what he's done, because even in Tom's Super Bowl wins in New England, more than a few of those were led by the defense, not by the offense of Tom. So football people will know what Bill Belichick means to the game of football. So I don't think his legacy decides on how far he gets anymore, but I'm sure pride does, that says, I've been up there for so long, and I need to get back.
While we're talking about Tom Brady, I got one more for you, and I don't know if you saw this because it just came out today, but Tom Brady is the first vocal critic of this new uniform number change policy in the NFL. He put on Instagram, good luck trying to block the right people now, going to make for a lot of bad football. Does Tom Brady have a point there, Golic?
I don't think so. I think that's overthinking it. I mean, you leave it. Listen, we see it every time when you go to the line of scrimmage. It's all about identifying.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback identifies, makes a call. You have a center. You guys are going to have a center, and Hudson is about as great as they come as far as identifying. You identify. The guys on the line know. I don't care about the number. It's the position. We're already turning into a positionless defense anymore. You know, look at the, you know, some of the linebackers you have. They could be safeties. It could be slot corners. It could be linebackers. They could be back. They could be on the line. So who the hell cares what numbers they're going to wear? You identify them when they get to the line on where they are.
Uh-huh.
So to me, I think that's a little bit overblown. But then again, I'm not the one on the offense trying to identify them. God forbid, guys, the defense get a little bit of an edge, if this can give the defense an edge, that they didn't make another frickin' rule that would benefit the offense.
No doubt about that.
Sorry, Tom, and all you quarterbacks out there, okay?
Wah, right?
All right, last thing before you go. Thank you for your time, my man. As a guy who played the position, J.J. Watt, who is he in the pantheon of defensive linemen, and what do you think he still has left, and what does a guy like that bring to Arizona?
Well, I mean, listen, he brings work ethic. You see how hard he works. So, you know, my dad always told me, keep your mouth shut, your eyes and your ears open. I did that when I went to college in the NFL. I watched guys who have been successful and how they prepare, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's on the field, or whether it's in the meeting room. And J.J. Watt's a guy that has always prepared well and had himself ready. So I think that's a great thing for younger players to see. And then, listen, I mean, it's a hold your breath, cross your fingers, he stays healthy.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those guys that can line up on a tackle, on a guard, on either side of the line, and wreak havoc. We did that with Reggie all the time. You find the weak spot. Though we had a lot of strength on the D-line with Jerome Brown and Clyde Simmons as well, so we didn't always have to do it. But you can move him around to get the matchup you want. A versatile man that big is always incredibly impressive.
Yep. Golic, thanks so much for making some time for us today. Always good to talk to you, man.